Welcome to Theology Thursday, an ecumenical space for students to discuss matters of faith and theology.
I'm your host, Connor Grubbs.
I'm your co-host, Ryan Mock.
And I'm your co-co-host, Johnny Grubbs.
And today we have joining us...
I couldn't even start!
I was going
to
introduce you.
He was about to introduce
you. I was about
to
say, today we have our special guest, Mac Ralston.
Hi. Wait, what were you going to say?
I don't know, probably what he said. I was going to introduce you because you're a guest. You don't have, a part.
Oh, I wanted to come up with something cool.
You're the Coco...
Maybe next time, buddy.
Well, he's not the Coco co-host.
That's too many.
He's a guest right now.
Welcome. Welcome, guest Mac.
Hi, it's great to be here.
You've been on the show before?
I have.
Our esteemed Patreons also got to enjoy a bonus episode with you.
I hope they liked it.
The after show.
I don't know who you're talking about.
Sorry.
That was Johnny.
Yeah, but Matt came in at the end, late.
That's right, I did.
Yeah. So
It was a
really good conversation. So, a really weird conversation. We're going to have some weird conversations. But, Mac, we always love having you on the show. And we wanted to have you on to this episode because you're a humorous man. You're a funny man, Mac. You make people laugh.
I dabble.
And...
Already.
And so we wanted to, we're going to talk about humor a little bit today.
We are. I'm excited.
So.
And scared.
Yeah. You should be. So Ryan has a sub point for us.
Okay. I'm excited about this sub point because we're actually going to be revisiting a question that we've answered on the podcast before, but I don't think we did the question its due justice. And the question is this. Is a hot dog a sandwich?
Oh, we already did that. We're coming back to this?
We're bringing it back around. And I don't think we did justice to David's question, is a hot dog a sandwich?
I didn't see that one. What was your initial answer?
It's not a sandwich.
Okay, because a sandwich is something between two slices of bread, and technically a hot dog is one piece of bread.
Unless it's not.
All right, that's fair.
This is why I'm bringing it back up. In my travels across the internet, I have stumbled upon a website that seeks to clear the air on this question.
Reddit.
A whole website?
It's probably Reddit.
I found it on Reddit, but it's not Reddit.
Wow.
Interesting.
The website is called cuberule.com. And
sounds reliable.
So people have tried to answer this question before. Actually, it even says on the website that the New York Department of Taxes and Finances has actually attempted to answer this question for tax purposes. And New York says that a hot dog is a sandwich.
Whoa.
For tax purposes?
For tax purposes, for sales tax, they wanted to identify whether a hot dog was a sandwich or not.
Would that make a difference?
Is there a sale? Yeah.
Is there a different sales tax for a sandwich and not a sandwich?
You pay different sales tax.
Yeah.
I don't know. You'll have to ask New York.
Interesting.
But anyways, that's maybe many people were not satisfied with that. There have been other charts that were created. There's the little diagram which on one side, on one axis you have the structure of a sandwich, and on the other axis you have the ingredients of a sandwich to figure out if an object is in fact a sandwich or not. And perhaps that's not satisfying either. So the creators of the website, they collaborated, they worked together on this, and they received some inspiration on this as well. They developed a new system to discover, is a food item a sandwich or not? And they call it the cube rule. And it works like this. You determine what category a food item is in depending on where the starch is located. Where the starch is located. I'm going to pull the website up right now and I will explain further. So, we all know what a starch is. It's basically the bread in the food item. So, if you have bread at the bottom of your food item, you have toast. If you have bread or starch on the bottom and top of a food item, you have a sandwich. If you have bread surrounding On three sides, you have a taco. If you have it wrapped all the way around, but not on either side, you have sushi.
Can I make a hot dog a taco?
Hold on. What about
piggies in a blanket?
Those are tacos? Focus. Okay. Focus. Fair. If you have the bread in a bowl shape, you have a bread bowl.
Okay, duh.
And if you have it all around the food item, you have a calzone.
What about the whole taco roll?
So let's delve further. let's dive a little deeper into this idea.
So is it picking a blanket a calzone?
So I want to ask. So we're gonna go down this little logic train.
Oh my! I'm really glad we only have one subpoint today.
What would a toast be? What kind of food items would be a toast?
Avocado toast.
Well, we have
a flatbread.
We have toast. We have pumpkin pie would be a toast. A slice of pumpkin pie.
Are you kidding me? I can't accept this.
What about pizza?
You would have pizza. It even identifies a pizza.
I think that makes sense.
Sandwich. Okay. What kind of items would be a sandwich?
A sub.
But sometimes at Subway, they don't cut it the whole way. So it opens like this. It folds like a hot dog bun.
Okay.
And they put the meat and they close it. So if it's not cut the whole way... Would that mean it's
I don't
a taco?
Think that's not a good sub because a good sub has so much on it. It's not a real sub.
I know this isn't Jersey Mike's.
So the website identifies a sandwich, obviously. They actually say toast as well could be a sandwich if you have toast on both sides. A quesadilla that's not folded. Or a Victoria sponge cake would be considered a sandwich.
Oh, good.
So that's a relief. So what would be a taco? And no, a taco, it's got starch on three sides.
Right.
So obviously a taco. Also, a hot dog. It identifies a hot dog as a taco.
A sub sandwich, as you said, because it's folded.
And a slice of pie if you just kind of twist it a little bit.
Okay, this is... Are you kidding me?
No, this is a wrench.
This is a wrench. What if you have a pizza, but you fold it to eat it? Does that make it a taco?
It would be a taco.
So a hot dog is a taco.
What about a sushi? Sushi, we have pigs in a blanket is a sushi. A falafel wrap is a sushi.
I totally reject your framework.
Quiche, we have
I just like that someone took the time to make this.
A cheesecake would be considered a quiche. And a falafel pita would be a quiche. Hmm. As well as a deep dish pizza. Key lime pie. So calzone.
I hate that.
Calzone. So for calzone, we have burritos, corn dogs, calzones, and a whole pie that has not been
technically
not though
been the bread, the starch does not completely surround a corn dog because there's a stick.
Well, yeah, I mean,
unless
you deep fry
the stick,
you be the judge of that. I don't know.
But the frying usually goes a little covers the stick a little bit too.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
So the picture they
there's provide. No
All right, I retract that.
Also, Pop Tarts would be considered calzone.
I agree with that statement.
Uncrustables. Have you ever eaten Uncrustables?
Amen.
Elementary
that's
school?
Definitely
calzone.
I have a calzone.
Dumplings. Love dumplings. That would be calzone.
I don't like this.
If you have a cake.
Okay, Ryan,
we can only spend so much time on this.
So, anyways, is the cube rule an effective way to categorize
starches.
Food items with starches?
Only if you completely, like, redefine the categories of what you thought before. I mean...
I'm willing to accept it because they put the time in.
They did.
I think it's well thought of.
If it was universally adopted, I would get used to it. But I don't like it.
That whole framework, but I do agree that a hot dog is closer to a taco than it is to a sandwich. That makes sense.
I at least agree with that. Yes.
But
what about the sub?
The sub would also have to fit that category.
There's so many problems if you adopted it though, because then if you're like, hey, why don't we go for tacos? Then you go to a hot dog place. Right.
What?
Then you're like, wait, I was really feeling Mexican, you know? Like,
and here's the thing, nobody operates from that framework, so we don't have to worry about that.
You're right, I know, it just makes me nervous. It's kind of like the metric system.
Johnny, you want to go get tacos after this?
I don't know.
Okay, thank you for that sub point. That was weird.
that That was good.
So, okay.
So, David, I hope that answers your question. Is a hot dog a sandwich?
Here's the thing. No, even, it's a taco. Even David said we took too long on the last time we did. He was like, you took way too long to answer that question. Like, I asked that as a joke. I appreciate that you answered, but it was too long of an answer. Now,
I appreciate
you've
the
continued
thought.
The answer. So, I don't even think David's going to appreciate
it. I kind of hope he swings far. Back around. I hope later in the year, like, we're talking about this again.
I really don't. So, here's Maybe. The thing. Here's a question from Cody Hausdorff. Cody is a good friend of ours. He has asked several questions that we've answered on the show, and he asks a lot of really good questions. Mm. This one's a really good question. Here's his question. What are the boundaries when it comes to humor? A lot of times, joking around leads to other people throwing in dirty humor. It's just a really common thing that many non-Christian people do. Is it wrong to go along with it? Obviously, without saying these things yourself, or should you just slide out of the conversation? Basically, how far is too far when it comes to how we speak? And he mentions that being in the Marines, they say a lot of dirty things, and that they're always trying to make you feel uncomfortable. They're always trying to push the envelope. That's just a part of that culture. And that this is part of the reason that he's asking the question. Basically, he wants to talk about how to handle casual conversations with non-Christian people when it comes to humor. So I think this is a great question. I think, honestly, in a big sense, I felt very convicted by this question.
See, I'd rather stick with the hot dog question.
Yeah, I don't want to move on. Because, honestly, if we're totally honest, I think especially with guys, even yes. Christians struggle with this. Okay, so he's asking, how does a Christian handle a conversation with a non-Christian? And I'm thinking back on a lot of times that from a Christian to a Christian, I was not really thinking about I wasn't really thinking
and me
okay. Yeah, no, I wasn't really thinking about
like, throw me under the bus, Mac.
No, it's actually not a secret that in, especially in the past, I've actually gotten in trouble for this. So I think that especially like early on in high school, like late in middle school, I started to kind of give into this peer pressure mentality. Of,
he's the one who actually started it.
Yeah, this is all your fault. And I own up to that. I don't hide that. Like, of okay, how can I get the most laughs out of people? Like, it seemed like that was the way to be popular, was to be the funny guy. Like, I wasn't gonna I wasn't gonna be the jock, right? Like, I wasn't gonna like get all the girls. Like, there wasn't anything that could make me the cool kid. But people like people who are funny. So how can I get laughs out of people? And I think the cheapest and easiest way to get a laugh is to say something that's shocking and or inappropriate.
Yeah.
And I don't know why we function that way. It seems that that is just what makes people laugh the most. That's why so many comedians are very vulgar. I kind of, even amongst Christian friends who are guys, like, I try to push the envelope because it's like, oh, well, they're laughing at me, so I've been accepted. It really was like an insecurity, peer pressure kind of a thing. And I realized as I got older, and as that at times would get me into trouble, I'm like, wait a second, I probably need to be a lot more careful with how I talk. And so it's true, we do need to be intentional with how we speak, but what does the Bible have to say about it? I think the more important question than just, oh, what's going to get you in trouble, is what's going to glorify God? And here's the thing. I believe that God has a sense of humor. There's a donkey in the Bible that talks. That's funny.
God created Shrek before it was cool.
What?
Donkey.
You want to elaborate on that?
Donkey.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I get it. I was like, God,
that's called humor.
Shrek? No, there's lots of moments in Scripture that I do find humorous. And Paul was a very sarcastic person, and we have an episode where we talked about language. Like, there's a line there, right? So, and I think one of the things that we talked about on that episode will kind of tie back in to this. But first, I just want to look at some of the scriptures. I know that both of you have some scriptures that you wrote down that speak to these issues. So let's go and dig into some Bible verses.
I always think of two specific verses when this conversation comes up. And
you use Notability too.
Yeah.
I use Notability.
Nobody cares.
Not sponsored.
Okay, that just sidetracked me. So both of these scriptures come from the book of Ephesians.
Nice.
Actually, they're one chapter apart. Actually, less. They're in different chapters, but they're super close together. Ephesians 4:29 and Ephesians 5:3-4. And this is what Paul says in Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And then I'll read the other verse too. This is Ephesians 5, verses 3 and 4. But sexual immorality and all impurity of covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among the saints. Let there be no filthiness or foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. And those are the verses there, and I know that probably all of you also looked at those verses.
You're missing one.
What do you got?
I have Colossians 3, 8-9. But now you must put them all away, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouths. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the ones that you said.
Yeah, that's the Colossians one. I didn't write it down, but that's another popular
Ephesians
one.
Ephesians are the top tier.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's a couple things that I want to point out here. And we use the first verse, 4:29, when we talked about language, okay, about like curse words. And there's a real emphasis on intentionality in our speech, okay? What is the motive and what are we trying to communicate? There are times where Paul uses words in the New Testament that at the time would have been considered at least euphemisms for things that wouldn't necessarily, you wouldn't use in a formal setting.
Yeah.
If not, just straight up cuss words. Now, you know, we don't fully grasp the language of the time, but we know that these words aren't things you typically write in a formal letter to somebody, especially if you were a spiritual leader. But what was he trying to get across, right? I mean, what was he saying with it? So, and we know just based on Jesus' teaching that he's far more concerned with the heart than the action.
Right.
So I think a lot of times when we get legalistic, we get caught up on a word or something like that when we really ought to be focused on the heart. So it talks about building others up.
Yeah.
It talks about fitting the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. So anytime we speak on anything, whether it's for humor or otherwise, what is the intention? Okay, what is the goal?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry, that was all good. And to piggyback off of that, even looking at the original word, it says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths. And other versions that you will read might say unwholesome talk. And when you'll actually look at the original Greek, the connotation there, and it's often used in other contexts, that word corrupting is actually used to describe rotten fruit, fruit that is rotted. And so kind of the image that I have in my head is if I asked Connor for a banana and he gave me a rotten banana and I didn't know and I ate it, that would not be good for me. Like,
no,
I do not like, I could barely eat a banana if it's just got a tiny bruise on it. But for him to give me a fully rotten banana, it's not good for me. And if Connor himself ate the rotten banana, he probably would not enjoy it at all. And so the words that we use, you know, what are they being used for and what do they do to the individuals? Rotten fruit could harm us as it harms other people. And so even if we're alone, if we're using foul language, and where we're saying things that in other contexts would not be edifying, even alone those words could do harm to us. And particularly when we're surrounded by people, if we're using foul language, that's considered rotten language, that could definitely bring people down. It's not good for them. So right. it does go to intention and what those words are doing to other people.
Yeah. So automatically, this rules out humor that tears other people down.
Yes.
Right? If we're speaking in a way that speaks ill of a person or a group of people or tears them down, we shouldn't be doing that. Okay? And another thing that I think is seen here, that second verse, Ephesians 3 through 4, it talks about sexual immorality and all those things. And let's face it, a lot of inappropriate humor revolves around that. It revolves around sexual humor.
A good chunk of it, at least.
And stuff like that, especially amongst guys. That just tends to be the thing that's joked about. Now, one of the things I was trying to figure out is like, why? Okay, so just why are those things funny to us? And I think a lot of times what I've found is we tend to joke about things that maybe make us uncomfortable. It becomes an easy way to talk about it, right?
True.
Rather than actually dealing with the issue at hand. So you see with sexual humor, with gay humor, with all these sorts of things, we'll joke about it because we don't feel comfortable actually talking about it. And it makes it easier to just, oh, well, let's just make fun of it. That's not very productive, though. You know what I mean? And the other reason it's so important to not make light of these things, and I think the reason he points out specifically those things when he's talking about how we talk, and one of the things I realized as I got older is like, man, why did I joke about these things? Is because sexual immorality, homosexuality, these things actually tear lives apart, right? Like, these are serious sins with serious consequences. And when we make light of these things, regardless of what the reason is, whether it's because it makes us uncomfortable and we don't know how else to approach it or whatever, when we make light of these things, we're making light of things that literally tear apart people's lives. Mm-hmm. And we should not be making light of that.
And here's the really convicting thing, and I don't know, maybe you read it and I wasn't paying attention, but verse 30 following verse 29, you know, talking about the fact that, you know, do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Talking about, you know, don't bring sorrow, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. And you think about Paul elsewhere saying in 1 Thessalonians, don't quench the Holy Spirit in your life. Anytime we engage in that, we are suppressing the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. We're out of step with God's Spirit. And that's really what that denotes in our life, you know, and that, you know, it's not unforgivable sin by any means. You know, that's why Paul commanded, keep in step. We have to, it's a practice to keep in step with the Spirit. But it's a huge tell that we're ignoring or suppressing God's Spirit in our life.
Yeah.
Or at least in that moment.
Well, yeah. Right. And I think especially specifically to what Cody's asking is, you know, are we representing Christ well
right.
when we speak a certain way or when we join in on things like... The way we talk should differentiate us from those that we're spending time with, you know? Mm-hmm. And not that we're putting those people down, because here's the thing. If we start to get legalistic about it, and somebody who's not a Christian is making these jokes, and we're like, no, you can't talk like that. That's wrong. I don't think that's the way to approach it, because if they're not a Christian, they're not going to talk like a Christian. But what you do is, by the way you talk, and the way you react to those things, and not necessarily joining in or giving in to peer pressure, you are setting yourself apart. And so that's really important.
Yeah. So we brought Mac on as a guest. I want to hear what Mac has to say.
Okay, cool. Well, I made a whole write-up.
Oh, boy.
But basically, I wanted to first start with what you were saying about legalism and how so often we want non-believers to, like, do Christianese things.
Conform to our standards.
When they're, and I think the problem is we so much try to change the behavior of those people instead of just sharing the gospel. Because the gospel is what ultimately will change those other things.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, if we talk to someone who is struggling with XYZ, homosexuality, lust, whatever the case may be, that instead of targeting the behavior, share the gospel, and Christ will change them from the inside out. Mm-hmm. It's a heart transplant, basically. So that was that point. It really didn't have anything to do with the humor thing. I just wanted to piggyback off of that while we're on. In terms of humor, I do agree it is a heart thing. I think it has to come from the intent behind the humor. Like you said, Cody's in the military, and I haven't watched the episode on cursing, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. But... I've always wondered when it comes to the military, would it be okay for the military? Because, you know, they're not going to say, hey, go shoot those meanie people over there. They're going to say, no, go blank and blow up those blanks. You know what I mean? So it's like the intent behind it is, you know, and there's, you can look up the science of profanity, whatever. It's actually pretty interesting, even though I myself don't curse. I think it's fascinating how different things in the way of our language are important. And I think it comes back to that. I wanted to start with humor itself, because, like, is humor even from God? And I do believe that is the case.
Yeah.
One verse that I never really noticed, but I really thought was interesting, is the people that were chilling with Jesus. I'm assuming these were Pharisees. I know it says there was a crowd. This is in Luke 7. The Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. So it almost is like the people at the time were saying, this guy must be drunk because he's joyful and he's having a fun time with his friends.
Yeah.
When the case is that, no, he was just in joy of the spirit. So I think this view of this very stoic Christ, I don't think that's necessarily true. And I looked it up because I was fascinated by this. There's a thing called chronocentrism. I don't know if you've heard of this word before, but it basically means that we think that today we're all, like, normal people. The people 100 years ago were weird robot alien people, like Abraham Lincoln. He was very serious.
Abraham Lincoln was a robot.
Well, the reason that people were so serious in, like, photos and stuff is because cameras took a long time to make photos, so you had to be very still.
Right.
And they thought that if you were laughing or smiling in a photograph, you looked like a drunk. And so everyone was very serious. But in actuality, people have been more or less the same forever.
Yes.
Everyone's goofed off with their friends, even people back in Bible times.
Yeah. Right.
It's That's something that I've noticed. And I've never seen that name before, that chronos.
But
that's interesting.
I found that interesting.
And it's something you have to overcome in Bible reading.
When Paul is writing to the Ephesians, Paul knows fully well what kind of people the Ephesians are.
Right.
People who love to talk about that kind of stuff, you're right.
Yeah, I just thought that was really cool because I always see pictures of Jesus and he always looks kind of sad, and I do believe he was. It says, I mean, Scripture says he was a man of great sorrow, but also a man of great joy. So I think there's a balance there in the sense of how we depict Christ and his attitude towards these things.
Well, just realizing anybody we read about in Scripture, they were human,
right?
You know, yeah. Like they had emotions.
Right.
The full spectrum of them.
Even these people that we put up and think like, oh, wow, like, I don't know. Pick any historical person you want. Martin Luther King, George Washington. They farted. Like, they goofed off. Like, they're just...
No, I had the thought when we were preparing for this. I'm like, you think about, like, they camped around and traveled all over the place, and there were a bunch of dudes. You don't think the disciples made a fart joke?
Yeah,
like,
I'm sure they did.
They probably did.
So I just think that's really interesting. Something you don't think of. And even Ecclesiastes 3 says, for everything there's a season, it mentions about laughter. So I think that is a part of life. And one of the things I wrote down just from my brain was like, you think of that God has made all of these good things, but in some way we have corrupted them.
Yeah.
And kind of twisted them for our sinful pleasures. For example, sex, food, and humor is one of those. And basically what I got down to are two verses. And these verses I have probably mentioned on the show before because it comes down to Christian liberty.
Yeah.
And I've talked about that before if you've seen the episodes with me. But I still think they ring true, and I always gravitate towards these. The first one's 1 Corinthians 6:12. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but I will not be dominated by anything. And the other verse is Romans 14:23. But whoever has doubts is condemned if he eats. Well, in this case, talking about eating. Because the eating is not from faith, for whatever does not proceed from faith is sin.
Hmm.
And so to me, and I'll be honest, I've broken my conscience on humor before because I tell a lot of jokes. But I feel like if you're going to say something that you think's funny and you have that feeling like, I probably shouldn't say this in this, you know, at this time or maybe at all, then you probably shouldn't say it.
Yeah.
And that goes for anything. I shouldn't listen to this song. I shouldn't watch this movie. I shouldn't do XYZ because the Holy Spirit will point you in the direction that God wants you to follow.
Yeah. I think that that helps us answer the question that we are all probably asking, and maybe our listeners are asking too, and that question is, what jokes are we allowed to tell?
Right.
And am I allowed to make sex jokes? Am I allowed to make other jokes? You know, I don't need to make a list of the types of jokes. But like, what is crossing the boundary? I mean, if we look at Ephesians chapter 5, Paul says, make no hint of sexual immorality. That's tough, you know, that's tough. But I do know that Paul does call us to a higher standard as Christians.
It's true.
You know, and what other kinds of jokes? I don't know. Paul says it, you know, no unwholesome language. If you are using language, and even in the context of humor, if it's tearing people down, then I think that's a violation of chapter 4. But beyond that, I think it comes down to, you know, is this violating your conscience, you know? God gave you a conscience to use, and I think there is some liberty in that, and what kind of jokes we say, and like the context that we find ourselves in. But it does require discernment and prayer, I imagine.
Yeah. No, I was gonna say, I mean, I went on a men's camping trip a couple weekends ago, and there are certain jokes that I might make in a context with a bunch of guys that I wouldn't make in another context. You know, like with a bunch of grown men. But even those aren't, like, inappropriate. I'm not making sexually immoral jokes. I'm not even making sexual jokes. Like, there's just certain things that you could say in that context, you know? Like, things that guys can relate to. Things that, you know... And so context, I do think, is really important.
Yeah, it is. And I think that comes down to also not being a stumbling block to someone else.
Right, right.
Like, I have friends that I know are very sensitive on certain topics. I won't even address them around certain people. But around someone that I'm more comfortable with and understands, I think it's okay to say certain things.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, just on a personal level, I'll say, like, don't fall into that peer pressure mentality. Because I think of a lot of unbelieving friends. I got so comfortable making certain types of jokes, even around Christian friends that I had, that when I had an opportunity to be with unbelievers, I didn't talk any differently than them. So, when they heard that I was a Christian, it's like, oh, really? Like... And that's not good. Cringe. Like I look back and I wish that I had started off on a different foot with those people. And they've noticed a difference in how I talk now than when I first met them. And I'm glad, but I wish that I'd started off, you know, that way. The other thing I'll say is I mentioned at the beginning that I think the shock factor is a really cheap and easy way to get to a good laugh from somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And that tends to be why people lean. I always really respected comedians who are... They're funny because they're smart. It's not because they're inappropriate. Right. It's not because their jokes are cheap. They've really thought about it, and they're able to have humor that is wholesome and that is also genuinely funny. I've always really respected that.
Yeah.
And I think there have been plenty of times where I've hung out with Christian guys, where I've talked to even my own pastor, and we've laughed really hard. And I've walked away from it, and I've been really refreshed by those times because I'm like, oh, I don't have to go for, like, a cheap laugh. Like, I don't have to talk that way. I think there's something to be said for that.
If we're all honest with ourselves, the humor we appreciate the most is humor of wit. You know, we've talked about that before, about some of our favorite shows and stuff like that, and they're not the crass one. Right. You know, they're the ones that are well-written, that are, you know, that are actually genuinely funny.
Yeah, for sure. So that's something to think about, too. And then I would also encourage you, there are a lot of things that I used to joke about very casually without second thought that now I look at those issues, and because there are people in my life who are personally struggling with certain things that I used to just joke about all the time, it really breaks my heart. And I think, like, man, that's not funny. Like, that's a sin, and it has consequences. And so I think a lot of time it's easy to joke about those things when we don't experience them personally, or we don't experience the effects of them personally. So I would challenge you, if there's things that are, like, really inappropriate that you find very humorous, think about where your heart's at, because as you grow in the faith and as you meet people of different walks and different backgrounds who are genuinely affected by things that maybe you or your friends might make light of, it does change your perspective, and you're like, oh, wait a second, that's not funny. Like, that's actually sad. I shouldn't be joking about that. So I think that's kind of a challenge too, is like, what do you find humorous, and is that coming from a right position, you know?
Yeah.
There's a lot more we could get into, when it comes to memes and meme culture, but we're actually going to save a lot of that for the after show.
Ooh.
So only Patreons. That's a Patreon exclusive. So if you're not a Patreon and you're interested in the bonus content, sign up. The link's there.
B-dubs.
B-dubs.
Bonus content. Whatever.
Buffalo Wild Wings?
That too.
So anyway, we'll talk about that in a minute. Any closing thoughts, though, before we get into the after show? For a general audience.
I think the conclusion is it's hard to create, like, a formula. Like, here's the hard and fast answer. But we know that, generally speaking, we should err on the side of what is most appropriate. Even when we're just among fellow believers, we might say, well, we're in a context, we're not hurting anybody. But we might actually be hurting each other.
Yeah.
To not keep in step with the Spirit and keep that, you know. So... I think just err on the side of what is pure and holy. It doesn't mean not fun, and I think that's the problem, that people associate purity and holiness with not fun, and I think it's about not, you know, having the right framework for that.
Right. Yeah.
That's true. I'd say there's no list we can lay out for you that will say, okay, here's the exact jokes that you shouldn't say, and here's what's okay to say. Yeah. I think it comes down to context, it comes down to the heart behind it, and also just comes down to being led by the Spirit.
Yeah.
And I think it's safer to stay on the side of caution.
Yeah.
On these things. And also, like you mentioned, you know, from someone who really likes comedy and has even considered getting into stand-up, and I watch a lot of comedians, the best humor is the humor that's well thought out.
Yeah.
And it's not dirty, because you may get a chuckle at the immediate dirty, inappropriate joke, but it's not going to stick with you.
Yeah.
The best jokes are the ones that really resonate with just the human experience.
Right. And while we may not be able to lay out a list, I think if you apply those criteria of, like, the Holy Spirit and discernment and context and all those things, it is going to rule out a lot.
You will find
it's
a list.
It's naturally
going
to rule out a lot. But that's a journey that you need to go on yourself. You know, you can't just expect some sort of... Because that's when you're on legalism, because you're just trying to check off a list, right? And that's not how it is. It's like, we want to be... we don't want to conform to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We want the Holy Spirit to be sanctifying us. And that's the overflow of our speech. And the Bible talks about that, too. That's a verse that I meant to pull up of out of the heart, the mouth speaks, you know. Our words really are an overflow of our heart. And so our words matter. And I think whether we're talking about cussing, whether we're talking about humor, whether we're talking about anything, the bottom line is words matter, right? And our words should reflect that the Holy Spirit is doing a work in our life. Well, again, if you want to join the Patreon for the after show and some of the other stuff we're talking about, you can do that. Mac, thank you so much for being on the show with us this week.
My pleasure.
And Ryan.
Yah, yeet.